for your word today. We thank you that you're ministering in and through us by the power of the Holy Spirit. We're expecting you to reveal to us the things you need us to know today. We're expecting you to speak to us fresh manna from heaven, Father. We're expecting that every person in here today will receive what's in there, what their heart needs, Father. Stir us up, encourage us. Holy Spirit, teach us. We're looking to you. I ask that you will speak through my mouth and think through my mind, God. Minister through me. Take this message you've given and expand it and cause it to touch people's hearts. We thank you that no word from God shall return void. We thank you that the word of God shall divide asunder spirit and soul. Father, I'm believing that people will receive their needs met today, that people will receive answers today. In Jesus' name, we pray it. Amen. Well, if you would, open your Bibles up to the book of Romans, and we're going to look at chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. The title of today's message is How to Defeat Sin and Bad Habits. How to Defeat Sin and Bad Habits. Those are kind of common to a lot of us. If you got flesh and you're not perfect in Christ, I guarantee you, you got some bad habits. And you need to defeat them, just like I need to defeat mine. We want to have good habits. One person said that a person is nothing more than a product of their habits. If you have bad habits, you'll be a bad person. If you have good habits, you'll be a good person. There are areas in my life where I'm working and believing God for change and working diligently and studying the word because I don't want to be that person in that area. I want to have much better habits. I want to do the right things to become the right person. Now, in that battle, again, against spirit and flesh, I've got to overcome it. And there's some things I need to know, some things I need to understand, some things I need to do. And one thing that was impressed on my heart strongly this week was that to remind everybody, me included, the importance of application. You must apply the word that you hear. When you hear the messages spoken, you have to be listening for what do I do now to make things different? Because it's so easy to hear the word, and it can be a good word, and you're excited, and you feel alive, and you feel stirred up in your spirit, and your spirit man feels fed and satisfied, but still walk away and do nothing differently than you did before you came in. The only thing that's going to change us is for us to change. Is that surprising? The only thing that changes is to allow the word of God to make us different. Not just inform our mind, because the Bible said knowledge puffeth up. And we have a lot of knowledge and a lot of wisdom around here coming from the word. And we can just get puffed up and be thinking more highly of ourselves than we are. Whereas the product is, are we producing or walking according to the word we've heard? The Lord said at the beginning of this year, this would be the year of wisdom. Wisdom is walking like you have the knowledge that you have. That's not having knowledge. Wisdom is not having knowledge. Wisdom is walking as though you have that knowledge. Acting like you have it. Now, that's what we want to do. Application is very important. You want to leave here today in your mind like, of what I heard, what am I now going to start doing differently so that that word that I heard will manifest a change in my life? That's what you want to answer. Now, the first point is, well, let's read the text first. Romans 6:18. Romans 6:18. Title of the message, How to Defeat Sin and Bad Habits. Romans 6:18 reads, being then made what? What's that word? Free. Being then made free. Free. They're not talking about money. They're talking about liberty. You know the freedom we have? The liberty? Being given the liberty, the right, the freedom from sin, you become or became the servants of righteousness. I am a servant to right living. I'm a servant to the right style of responding to things. I'm a servant to what the word of God says I should do. We have been made free from sin if we actually have given our life to Jesus Christ and we're saved. How many people just can't get away from sin? I just can't. See, as long as you're thinking that, long as you believe in that, no matter what I do, I can't. Long as you believe that, you're saying I'm not saved. Because the Bible says you're free from sin. Sin does not necessarily have to have a hold on you. People who are in bondage to sin are people who are not saved. And remember, whatever you say with your mouth and believe will be true to you. So that's why your mouth must line up with the word of God. We have to stop saying, I just can't stop this. I just can't overcome. You don't understand how hard it is. I just can't stop. Well, you might as well just saying, I'm just not saved. I just ain't saved. I just don't care nothing about Jesus. I'm not saved. Now, that's not what we're saying, but that is what we're saying. Think about it. I will not say that I'm not saved. I will not say that Jesus is not my Lord. Therefore, I cannot say that sin rules and reigns over me. I am free from sin. I am not bound to sin, because you got to look at sin as almost like a person. So that when the temptation of sin comes, you say, I ain't listening to you. Because, you know, if you don't personify it, if you don't make it something to come against, something to resist, then you just kind of float like I'm under the control of it. And it just I can't help myself. No, sin, look, the voice of sin is talking to me. It's Satan speaking through sin. You need to go do this. No, I know I shouldn't do that. Sin, you can shut up. I'm not doing that. Sin, you have no place in my life. Sin, you have no part in me. Sin, I don't care anything about you. I'm a slave to righteousness. I'm a servant to righteousness. I live rightly before the Lord. I'm not interested in you, because we know what sin is. But we don't give it a voice, but we still listen to it. Look at it and say, you, sin, I will not obey you. I am free from you. I don't have to do anything you say do. I don't have to supply any need you want. All I have to do is serve God. It is an enemy. And you got to identify. Have you ever tried to fight a battle when you don't know who the enemy is? And a lot of times we don't identify sin as an enemy. We think of sin as an intangible concept out there somewhere. This thing that's just out there. No, sin is bad. Sin is an enemy. Sin steals from you. Sin robs you. Sin is the tool of the devil to cause you to spend eternity in hell with him. And I refuse to listen to the devil or sin. Let's look here. Again, being made free from sin, either the Bible's true or not, being made free from sin. Say of yourself what God says about you, and you'll have what God says you have. I'm free from sin. Now let's go and look at the first point. How to defeat sin and bad habits. Point number one is get right with God. You need to get right with God. Oh, wow, that's a surprise. Whoa, man, I thought we were going to learn something new. Whoo, man, get right with God. Oh, that's great. I'll stop and go home now. Well, if you're right with God, you can get up and leave. If everything's right and you're perfect with God and everything's going fine. Other than that, unless you're saying you're perfect, there's an area in your life and my life where we still need to get right with God. So we need to hear it again. We need to be reminded of the importance to get right, not generally, specifically, in every area where God has revealed to you that you need to work on that area. Get it right with him. That's what righteousness is, to be in right standing. To be in a right position with God. Look at Proverbs 28:13. Get right with God. Proverbs 28:13. I love the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 28:13. The book of wisdom, it's called. I love wisdom. It's sweet to my soul. Learn to love wisdom. Wisdom will protect you. Wisdom will correct you. Wisdom will guide you, direct you. Wisdom will bring you into blessing untold. Proverbs 28, verse 13. Proverbs 28, verse 13. I'm back to trying to break in my new Bible. Started with it last year and I put it down because it wouldn't turn to the pages right. I got my other one broken in. This lovely lady I used to date gave me that other Bible. It's the first time it's the first time I ever had a Bible. Helen gave me that other one. But I wore it out. See, if I had it with me, I'd read the inscription she put in there. She said it'll bless me, it'll teach me how to do right. She just wanted to marry me and have me for herself, that's all. Messed up my mind. Had no power over myself anymore. Gave me the word and just indebted to her for life. Proverbs 28, verse what? I told you she messed up my mind. I can't even remember stuff. I start talking about it and I just go blank. Okay, verse 13 says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Now, when you get things right, is not covering it up, not getting mad at other people when they reveal it to you. That ain't getting it right. Not feeling bad because somebody told you you need to straighten out. But the temptation to maintain the bad habit and to stay in sin is to just jump immediately to, but you're my feelings. You're hurting me. Guys, men, women, everybody. We have to resist the temptation to do that. Otherwise, we are not going to get it right if we totally jump from the fact that someone's letting me know this wrong. I need to correct this. I need to straighten this out. What do you have advice to help me? How do you think I can do that? Instead of just, you don't like me. Or you make me feel bad. The Bible says here, do not attempt to cover it. Means do not attempt to hide it. Do not attempt to pretend like it doesn't exist. And yeah, I feel bad when people point out my flaws. But you know what? I feel bad enough to try and do something about them, not bad enough to attack the other person. Don't be pointing out my flaws. I'm like anybody else. You don't like to hear people point them out, but you gotta, if you want to be wise, which is walk like you have knowledge of the word, you'll not cover them up. If they come out, fess up. If you don't know what to do, ask for help. Meditate the word, and that's hard because only a humble person can do it, and most of us are not as humble as we want to be. It's humility for somebody to face you right in your face and tell you, you are wrong. This is not right. The word says here, that's that. And a lot of times you don't want to hear it. Most of the time we don't want to hear it. How he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Now, if I get in the habit of covering up when I miss it, or attacking folks when they point it out, or situations pointing out, I decide I ain't gonna do no Bible study because the Bible keeps getting on my case, or I'm not going to that church because the pastor keeps getting on my case, or different things like that. What are you doing? You're not gonna prosper because you're trying to cover it up. Bring it out, make it plain, let's straighten it out, let's get it out the way, and let's go on to the next thing. Because to come to perfection is to conquer each sin in your life. To conquer it, not to cover it, to conquer it, to gain dominance, dominion, and control over it. Look at the second part of that. But whosoever will confess and forsake the sin, that person shall have mercy. And that implies they also will have the prosperity. I need the mercy of God. But the mercy of God is not extended to me when I'm stiff-necked and hard-hardened to change. When I won't get it right. Well, Lord, you know, everybody's got a little bit of sin. This is just my little bit that I have. It ain't like I do what so-and-so does. All I do is this. See, you're not getting it right. You're not concentrating on getting it right. You're not thinking sin is my enemy. I do not want my enemy staying with me. I want it all out. As much as I can get, as God gives me grace to work on it, I want to deal with that. Sin is not something to be accepted or toyed with. It's to be attacked, conquered, defeated, put under, so that you can live in victory. Sin holds you out of victory. Sin, it just said, holds you out of prosperity. And sometimes when we wonder, why aren't we prospering? We're not right with God. Now notice, we're not talking about being perfect at the moment. But I believe God gives that mercy. Can you remember they said, if you take care of it, you get mercy? Why do you need mercy if you're perfect? Because just because you straighten out one sin ain't going to make you perfect. But God will give you mercy in the other ones that you'll be working on later, as long as you're taking care of the one he got you working on now. So in other words, you're progressively going, I wouldn't need no mercy if all of a sudden I got perfect. What I need mercy for, I deserve to be treated right. But the thing is, I fixed this one, and there's something else now I got to work on. So the Lord says, if I don't cover it up, but I confess it, and I do what? Forsake it. Turn away from it. Leave it. Forsake it. I will get mercy. Why do I need mercy? Because there's still some more sins outstanding that I need to work on in my flesh. God said, that's all right. I'll give you mercy for those because you're doing good. You took care of that. Now let's go work on this. Okay, you took care of that. Let's go work on that until you get to perfection. God is very patient and merciful with us when we're changing. The mercy runs out when we're not changing. Let's look. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Look at 1 John 1:9. You know the verse. You can quote it by heart. 1 John 1:9, most of you. If you hadn't learned that quote by heart, you should. You learn that one real quick. I had to know that one real quick. Had to use it a whole lot. If there was one I had to meditate and confess a lot, it was 1 John 1:9. Why? Because that's the one that gets you right with God when you're wrong. When you're wrong and you need to get back right, 1 John 1:9 is what you're looking for. 1 John chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 9. Not the Gospel of John, not Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the Epistle of John, way back there with Revelations and Jude and 1st, 2nd Peter, back there. 1 John 1:9. I'll give you a moment to get there so we'll be together. 1 John 1:9. Are you there? 1 John 1:9 reads like this. Learn this. Verbatim. Know it, or at least in your vernacular. Learn it because you should be using it every time you know you slipped. Every time you know you missed it, you ought to run to 1 John 1:9 and you ought to speak that and have faith in that so that you can have faith to go on and receive mercy. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You notice that? If we confess our sin, what about if we don't? What about if we don't confess our sin? We just float with it, pretend it isn't there, just kind of cover it up. Well, in that case, you don't get the promise of he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. If you cover it up, God will not forgive you of it. If you won't confess it and speak it to him, he will not forgive you of it. You need to come and say, Lord, I missed it here. I did not mean to do that. I gave in to the flesh. I was wrong. Forgive me. I mean, you know, you just think of how much grace and mercy you have as you confess your sins to your spouse. I'm not talking about what it doesn't have to do with them. Be like, honey, I was mean to you, honey. I'm sorry. I love you. Will you forgive me? I mean, it's like magic. It just works, smooths it over. Helen and I have to do that a lot, one another. Because she lives with somebody who's not perfect, and I live with somebody who's not perfect. But when we offend one another, we got to confess. Got to fess up. And somehow that just makes it work instead of just plan for a few days till it kind of, you know, because you build up walls and people close their hearts and they close their spirit towards you, whereas you need to deal with that thing immediately. Because, see, you're doing the same thing against God, you just don't think he's there. But if you're close to the Lord, you know you're doing it to God. You're close to your wife and your spouse. You know when there's some tension between you and your wife and you and your husband. You know when there's tension because they're in the house with you. When you get spiritually mature and you're close to God and you break his commandment, you know, because the same tension is there. You just know, like Jesus, something's left me. Something's different. It's not the same. But we're developing to that point. But we need to realize it's still just the same. Sin separates us from God. Always has. But he is so faithful and so just that if we confess the sin, he's faithful and just to bring us back and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and to get right back next to us and we draw nigh to him, he draw nigh to us and everything just be hunky-dory. That's how good he is. He's faithful and just. He can be dependent on to do it. Yeah, but Lord, but yeah, you know, I was stupid. I did it 1,800 times. But did you confess it 1,801? Oh, he's faithful and just to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Oh, God, how can you be so good to do that? That's just who I am. I'm goodness personified. I'm the Lord God. I am good. Oh, but God, but that's just too good. I don't deserve it. I know now you're getting it. No, you don't deserve it. But I'm giving it to you anyway. I don't never want what I deserve from God. Never. don't want no justice. I want some mercy. Don't want no justice. Lord, please don't be just with me. Do not deal justly with me. Deal according to mercy. Because I don't do no justice. I've been too bad to you, Lord. But please have mercy on me. Don't ever pray to God for justice. You better pray for mercy. And when you confess and not cover up the sin, you shall receive the mercy. So first thing you want to do to overcome sin and bad habits, or to win over sin and bad habits, or to defeat sin and bad habits is what? Get right with God through confession. Get right. If you're in a situation right now where you're trying to get a certain faith battle and you seem like the wall is there, first thing you'll do, check it. Check yourself. Get right. Get right. Confess. Lord, there may be some sin I don't even know I've committed. But Father, my heart is penitent. I don't mean to do nothing wrong. I know I've done some stuff, Lord, but forgive me of it all now. If I remember it, I confess it. I don't even know what it is, Lord. But forgive me of all sin. I want to be right with you. Maybe at the end of service, when you raise your hand, say you want to make things right with God. Pray that prayer. Get in on that. Get things right with God. I ask people, do you want to be right with God? And I know some of you know you're not right. You say, I'll get right later. Or I'll get right at home. I don't want somebody to see me. You ain't worried about being right with God, are you? You don't want to be wrong with God 1 second longer than necessary. When the Spirit gives you revelation that in your spirit, like, ooh, I need to correct something. Take care of it. Don't wait until you get home. Take care of it. get right with God. Because remember, if you want to overcome sin, you cannot let that thing do it. Because there's a feeling that I have. Speak about feelings for a minute. There's a feeling I have when things aren't right between me and God. There's a loss of joy. And God doesn't want me to dwell like that because it puts strain on my body. It puts strain on my mind. It causes stress. It's a loss of joy. And you can't handle that. So why you want to carry that any longer than you need to? Because once I confess it and I go and say, hey, baby, I missed it. I'm sorry. I was disrespectful. I shouldn't have done that. I didn't give you your respect. I was wrong, dear. And will you forgive me? I can be back at peace. And the God of peace is in me. You know how many sicknesses people got in their bodies because of loss of peace? Carrying stress, carrying sin. Get rid of it. Get right with God. Let's go to point number two. Point number two, how to defeat sin and bad habits. Accept God's forgiveness. Now, it's a whole nother thing to confess and then accept. Well, I confess my sin, but I still need to do penance. I confess my sin, but you know, I still need to do something. Maybe I need to go and debase myself. You know, honey, I love you, but I was wrong. Will you forgive me? Yeah, I forgive you. But honey, I was really wrong and I'm really sorry, honey. You know, I really did. Let me list all the things I did wrong. You feel like you got to do more. Because it can't be as simple as forgiveness. Can't be as simple as that easy, is it? But the Lord makes it that easy. Well, you know, I asked, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to write out a little bigger tithe check. I'm going to put in, you're going to try and buy some forgiveness. You just receive it. But some folks, see, I say that and seem funny, but a lot of people, they don't do it as funny as I said it, but they do the same thing. If the Bible says you confess it, he forgives it, takes it away, and then you read that, can you accept right then? And somebody come to you and say, "You, and that was terrible of you to do that." And here they are yielding to the devil, stirring it back up. Can you still look and say, "That's under the blood"? Yeah. Or do you kind of like, yeah, you know, that is kind of right. See, you haven't accepted God's forgiveness. Forget them. Did God forgive you? Did God forgive? If God forgive you, then you can have peace in your conscience. But if somebody else bring it up, still upset, let's not talk about it. Let's not bring it up. You still got emotions about it, don't you? You hadn't forgiven yourself. You hadn't accepted God's forgiveness. You could look at your brother and say, look, that's under blood. I did it. I was wrong. But you know what? I'm right now. But how you going to say, you old terrible thing? You think you can hide behind the word. Hey, if you genuinely forget it, you can be washed in the blood, hide behind God and have peace. You can have your joy back. If you accept the forgiveness, because everybody else is unimportant if God has forgiven you. What you think is nice and that's real sweet, and if you can tell me how to stay out of it, by all means tell me how to stay out of it. But if you just want to ride my back and bring it up, I'm not worried about that. God has forgiven me for that. Boy, I tell you, when you get mature in this and you get to the point where you are quick to repent and quick to forgive, folks will think you're crazy because they don't want you getting off that easy. They want you to suffer a little bit. But you say, oh no, I confess that, I'm fine. Well, you know, you just hide my, you still the same. You just hide behind the word. You just the same. No, I'm cleansed. I'm different. Oh, you can't be different. No, I'm different. See, other folks, watch them. They're trying to steal your joy. They're trying to steal your forgiveness. Your forgiveness, when you sin against God, comes from whom? From God. Comes from God. And if you receive it from God, then is it not yours? And if it's yours, what difference does it make when anybody else says or thinks? Yeah, people are still going to talk. I know you get mad and if you carry the feeling, I don't want people talking about it. Well, some people, you just can't control them. Have you noticed that? Can't control nobody but you. If you don't want nobody never saying anything bad about you and they be telling the truth, don't ever do nothing bad. You ain't going to be able to stop them from saying it. But if you receive forgiveness from God, you can look at them and say, yep, I did that. But you know what? The Lord has cleansed me of it. He has no remembrance of it. And I'm not going to remind him of it by thinking about it. I'm going to meditate these things of good, lovely, pure, and of a good report. I'm not going to think about that. Tell you what, you think about that and I go on about my business. See, that's a mature concept. Seems kind of funny, but that's a very mature way to handle it. I'm not going to worry about it. I have no emotion tied in it because God has no remembrance about it. I was sorry. I repented. That's where I'm right now. And you go on. See, that's accepting the forgiveness. If you're still all mostly tied into it, you have not accepted it. You've gone through some phrases with no faith in them working at all. God could not have forgiven me. I'm too much of a sinner. You don't know God. You don't know his capacity to love, his ability to forgive. God says, I will wipe it away as far as the east is from the west. Look at Revelations 1:5 on the same topic. Accept God's forgiveness. Revelations. The last book of the Bible. We can find that one. The last book of the Bible. Revelations 1, verse 5. We are free from sin. I don't have to listen to you, sin. I don't have to please you. You're not my master. I'm a servant of righteousness. Revelations 1, 5, under point number 2, accept God's forgiveness, reads as follows. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. When you confess the sin, Jesus washes it away with his blood. Yeah, but yeah, that's a nice thought. That's not a thought. That's a fact. He's washed it away. Just like in the Old Testament, you could have a sin and you could atone for it just by blood. But they said it's not right that the blood of bulls and goats will take away sin. It just atones for it and covers it up. But Jesus' blood, the pure righteous lamb, his blood washes it away. Away. It's gone. If you don't go looking for it, you ain't going to find it. God's not going to go looking for it. It's gone. Oh, but look at what I did. Hey, I'm a new person now. I'm recreated again. I've been rededicated. Yeah, but you did so-and-so. Hey, the old me did that. Now that's part of the old me. This is the new me. Oh, but you know you need to do so. No, I ain't got to do nothing but live right from here on. I mean, it's like Jesus with the woman. You remember the story about that woman who they caught in the very act of adultery and they brought her in there and they trying to trick Jesus? Wait, what do you think we should do with this woman? You know, because Jesus knew what the law said. The law said take her to the end of the village and stone her. This woman has been caught in the very act of adultery. Now, you notice she got caught in the act of adultery, but they only brought one person in. I'm like, which one of your boys tripped this lady up to get her in there with Jesus? If you caught in the act of adultery, you normally not by yourself or it's called some other adultery. She's caught in the very act of adultery, and they come in with one person. I thought they set her up. It was a plan. They set her up to bring her in there to see what Jesus would do. And Jesus said, ain't going to be no judge of law. He ain't going to get into it. He said, just put it like this. He who is without sin cast the first stone. And they all begin to leave from the older first to the youngest. Because older ones wise enough to say, ooh, I got a lot of sin. Let me get out of here. I got to go. And then the younger ones like, well, they all leaving. I guess we'll leave too. And Jesus looked at it and says, where are thy accusers? Neither do I accuse thee. Go thy way and sin no more. Caught in the very act. We're talking like in the 70s, we say she was cold busted. Wasn't no way of getting out. They brought only her, left the guy. They wanted Jesus to say stoner because the law says stoner. But what did he do? He didn't pass judgment. He let them deal with it. And he just said, he extended mercy to her because she was supposed to die. The law was serious. Take her to the end of the village and stone her to death. Whole lot of us would be dead now. We wouldn't have to be worried about no forgiveness. We'd just be dead. She'd have been dead. But thank God Jesus intervened for them. You got to understand he intervenes for you. God is not trying to put a judgment of death on you after you confess, repent, and turn away from it. Just like he let her go scot-free. You think in the New Testament he ain't going to let you go scot-free? You don't owe him nothing. Don't have to pay nothing back. You just go thy way and sin no more. That's the love. That's what the blood does. You don't have to pay a price. You don't have to do a penance. Just accept the forgiveness because Jesus' blood has washed the sin away after you repented and confessed. So in other words, in this whole concept of defeating sin, you have the right understanding of let me get right with God so I can start from a clean slate. Now, in my clean slate, I got to accept that my slate is absolutely clean, that God has totally forgiven me for everything. There's nothing in the past outstanding to me. That's what you got to get first. Those two things get in your mind that I have confessed the sin. I didn't try to hide it, cover it up. I did it. I was wrong. It was awful. And then you confess it to God. And then you say, God, I believe that you have forgiven me. And I stand before you. I can say it. I stand before you righteous. I stand, but what did you do? That's under the blood. I stand before you righteous. And the devil say, just 2 days ago, I stand before him righteous because I was on the other side of me confessing the sin to God. And I stand, I mean, you got to have, can you get to the point where you're so bold and so confident that you're right with God that you just know that you know that you know I'm right with God. I don't care what you say, I'm right with God. If you don't get that attitude, sin is going to keep riding your mind and riding your brain. And it's going to get this burden of condemnation that God has not put on you, but sin has put on you. You will get a sin consciousness that a lot of people have quit serving God because they dwelled on the sin consciousness. Who can ever keep the word? Look, God's not trying to get you to keep it all right now. He's trying to get you to work on what he's got you working on. He's trying to get you to walk in the revelation of the light you have. Don't be letting the devil show it to you like, who can fix it all? Nobody's perfect. That doesn't mean don't try. But Satan tries to get you to deal with sin as a single thing. There are individual sins. The Bible talks about those sins, and so sins, plural, that easily beset us in Hebrews 12, 1. You know, beware of those sins that so easily beset you. Well, knock them off one at a time as God gives them to you. Deal with them one at a time. And when Satan comes against you, I'm clean of that sin right now because I confessed before the Lord. I'm cleansed. And accept your righteousness through faith. Accept your righteousness through faith. Again, you got that issue of faith. If you have weak faith, you're going to have a problem accepting you're not righteous because you know what you did. No, your faith is weak. Doesn't matter what you did. God's telling you it doesn't matter what you did. You're right with me. Yeah, but God, I just don't feel right. Don't walk by feelings. But God, I really let you down. Forget about that. I don't know anything about that. Don't be reminding me about it. You're right with me because I'm telling you, I've declared you righteous. I've counted you righteous. I reckon you righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ. And don't be telling me nothing else or you're out of faith. And I'm not pleased if you're out of faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, Hebrews 11, 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So you got to walk in faith and you got to believe that what I say is more true than what you think in your peanut. Well, I think like I ought to have to do more. I think I should have to do some more. No, I said you're clean. Well, see, now you got into trouble for not believing God before. Why stay in trouble for not believing now? But Lord, if you say I'm righteous and I'm scot-free, I'm off. Like somebody being in jail and the governor come down, they're on death row and the governor giving them a pardon. And I ain't leaving because I feel guilty. Well, but you got a pardon. We know you're guilty. We know you're guilty, but I'm giving you a full pardon. I'm just letting you go. Yeah, but I did it. I know you did it. I just want to let you go. I can't leave. I'm scheduled to die tomorrow. I can't leave. I miss it. Like a nut. But see, that's what flesh makes that seem reasonable. But there's no reason for you to want to stay in sin. There's no reason for you to want to be punished because of sin. There's no reason for you to suffer because of sin once that sin has been rolled over on the Lord and is under the blood of Jesus. Why? What? Because it makes me feel like I'm doing something. It wouldn't make me feel like nothing to go to the gas chamber and die. It wouldn't make me feel like nothing. It wouldn't make you feel like nothing either. But be careful because sin is the same way. Sin is a death sentence. Sin is a death sentence. And God says, I've released you from the sentence of death. You're free now from sin. Sin ruled and reigned in your life, but you confessed it and now you're free from it. Go that way and don't hook up with it no more. Yeah, but I got to pay for what I've done. No, go that way. Sin no more. The prison door is open. What are you doing inside? Brother Hagin's little book says, the prison door is open. What are you still doing inside? You're free from sin. It had a bondage on you. It had a chain on you, but Jesus has loosed you from it. Don't stay in it. Walk away from it. Turn your back on it and be free. And then now when you're there and you see that's an enemy, you see what it was like, the bondage it put you under, hate it, despise it, detest it enough that you don't want to be in it because of the way it makes you feel. I like this feeling of liberty more than I like the feeling of sin. So devil, you might tell me to sleep with this person and sin may bring joy for a season, but there's going to be payday after that. And I don't like payday. So I'm not going to deal with that. I don't even want to get into it. Sin for a few moments, the pleasure of a few moments can bring so much turmoil later. It ain't no woman that fine. It ain't no man that fine to deal with that when you're a real Christian and your heart's right with God and you get separated from God. That you, if you really realize who God is and you value your relationship with God that much, that wasn't that good. It wasn't that good. Now, some people just aren't close to God, so, you know, they have carnal anyway. But if you grow up and develop things with God, you're like, no, baby, it ain't worth it. Because you can't do me like Jesus can do me. You can't make me feel the pain I'm going to feel from the devil, the punishment, the condemnation the devil's going to put on me. And he's going to be telling the truth, too. If you give in to that. Now, I can live without that. God says he'll supply my needs. If I turn to the Lord, if I need a wife, he'll supply me a wife. If I need a husband, he'll supply me a husband.
The Lord give me a desires of my heart as I obey him, as I seek first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all them other things and persons and people will be added unto you. But you do it God's way, you'll get it with no stress, no strain, no pain, just gain. But if you do it your own way, the cost of sin, the wages of sin are death. That means if you sin, payday is coming, and payday is death. And sometimes it's not in the hereafter, sometimes it's right now. You get a death emotionally and a death spiritually way before you get to the natural death. And you got to realize that sin, you're a liar. I'm turning my back on you. I'm getting right with God. I accept God's forgiveness. I can stand here. I'm right before God. Now, after that, you got to go to James 4:7. Submit yourself to God. James 4:7. You need to be writing these down so you can remember them, because you need to get this in your mind and your heart of what you got to do, what you have to change this week in order to defeat the bad habit. You got to get yourself right with God over it. Then you got to accept God's forgiveness for whatever happened in the past and say, I'm righteous right now. I'm starting new. And then you got to submit yourself to God. James 4:7. Submit yourself to God. James 4:7. Your verse. I'm going to get some sticky stuff on my finger to turn these pages. James 4:7. Submit yourself, therefore, to whom? Is that one of those divine suggestions in the Bible? No, there are no divine suggestions in the Bible. It's commandments. Just like the Ten Commandments. Here's a commandment. If you're saved, submit yourself to God. Yeah, but you know, it's kind of optional. Maybe on Mondays and Wednesdays, but Thursdays and Fridays is my time. No, submit yourself to God, period. Submit yourself to God. Let's look at verse 10. Same chapter, verse 10. What are we in? We're in 4:10. Okay. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Now, why would I need to humble myself to God in relationship to submitting myself to God? When you submit to somebody, you in turn are showing humility towards them. When you submit to God, you're saying, God, now I know I want to do it this way, but I'm going to humble myself before you, and not my will and my way be done, but thy will and thy way for me be done. Lord, you're saying you don't want me to yield my members as members of unrighteousness or tools of unrighteousness, but you want me to save it for righteousness. You're telling me to be a vessel of honor, not a vessel unto dishonor. Well, Lord, I'm going to humble myself before your word and before you, and I'm going to do it in obedience to you. And I'm trusting you that that is going to be the better way. Now, after you confess the sin, after you've accepted forgiveness, you got to submit. That means you got to start doing things God's way. If God says don't play with it, what does that mean? Don't play with it. If God says don't do it, what does that mean? Don't do it. God said don't fellowship with unbelievers. Fellowship is not say hello and hi to them, but you got to change your set of running buddies if you want to get out of bad habits and sin. Because bad character corrupts, bad morals corrupts good character. And vice versa is true too. Bad character will corrupt good morals. If you run around folks with bad character and bad morals, don't even lie to yourself, because the Bible already says, avoid them that do such. Do not fellowship with those people. I can't let my guard down and hang out and relax around a bunch of sinners. My purpose is to minister to you. I got to get with the saints to hang loose and relax. And even then, sometimes you got to watch them. You relax, but you look out the corner of your eye at them. Like, what's that you sipping on? A little juice and gin? What is it? Oh, I'm just taking a little libation, brother. You better take some salvation, brother. Libation my foot. Now, you notice there it says to submit yourself unto God. Now, thirdly, I want us to look here at another thing you got to do. Right after that, and back in our 4:7, submit yourself to God, and then do what? Now, that's two different acts. If you want to defeat sin and bad habits, you got to get right with God. You got to accept God's forgiveness. You got to submit yourself unto God. His way, his word, his will is now what is true to you. That's what I'm supposed to do. That's what I'm going to do from here on. Lord, all you got to need to do is reveal it to me and I will do it. If I see it, Lord, I'll do it, because I've made a decision to overcome sin, not to live by it, not to suffer the condemnation of it. I'm not going to have bad habits. I'm clean before you now. I am submitting myself to your word. Teach me and I will know. I will study to show myself approved. You remember our 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved. I will make earnest, diligent effort to show myself approved unto you, Lord. Because if you're busy doing that, you run out of time to sin. You run out of time to do all that if you're full time taking care of God's business. But you know what grandma used to say? The idle mind is the devil's workshop. Some folks got too much unscheduled time. Most of the trouble you get in is in your free time. You know, people don't get in as much trouble at work. You get in some trouble, but you don't get as much trouble. But when they out on holiday hanging out, you get in some trouble. See, your mind is unoccupied. Your flesh is just allowed to go free. Always need to keep a rein on the flesh. Be doing something constructive. Keep that mind out of trouble. Let every vain imagination be brought into captivity to the word of God. If your mind's going off on, yeah, that'd be, no. The word. The word. Resist the devil and he will flee. Three things to resist the devil by. Resist the devil by not playing around with sin and bad habits. Resist the devil by not playing around with sin and bad habits. In Revelation 3:16, Jesus got on him and said, "The lukewarm, you're lukewarm, and I'll spit you out of my mouth." Resist the devil by not playing around with sin and bad habits. Don't be lukewarm. Revelation 3:16. Under that, resist the devil, which is point four, it says, resist the devil by taking the escape from temptation. Resist the devil by taking the escape from temptation. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12 says, there is no temptation that has come unto man that with the temptation God has not provided an escape. To resist the devil, always take the escape. When the thought comes to hit it, you better hit it. Get on out of there. Don't stay and play. Get out. When that moment of clarity comes, this isn't right, take the door right then. If you stay there and compromise a little bit longer, you're going to go down. And thirdly, resist the devil by walking in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says, if you walk in the Spirit, you're not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5:16. Romans 8:1-2. Romans 8:1-2. There is therefore now no condemnation for them that walk not after the flesh, but walk after the Spirit. So get right with God. Accept God's forgiveness. Submit yourself to God, His word, His way, and then you got to resist the devil because he's coming. Because when you submit to God, you get more of the word. And where the word is, the enemy cometh immediately to take it away. So you might as well know the devil's coming when you're growing in the word. So you got to get ready to resist him because he's coming. And you resist him in those three ways. And you know what? You'll win over sin and you'll stay free from it. But you got to do that, particularly take that escape. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for encouraging us again into righteousness, Father. We thank you that in all the pictures you've given us in the Word, that you're opening up the eyes of our understanding so that we can know what it is to be saved, that we can know what it is to be a Christian, that every last person in this room will go before the Father and he will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now enter into your reward and your rest." Father, we don't want to miss it. We don't want small rewards in heaven. We want great rewards. And they're according to our obedience on the earth, Father. Help us, teach us to obey, Father. Teach us the things we're to do. Enlighten the eyes of our understanding that we might know what it is to be a Christian, Father, that we might see through all the religious glasses, through all the religious error, through all the words and traditions of men, that we can see what it is to purely be a child of God, Father. Help us to give with a loving heart, to give freely. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.